It's always hard, that period of time, and poor all of us standing that long when we're not used to it, right? No? Brothers and sisters, our first scripture comes from the Old Testament, from the book of Amos. Amos chapter 8, verses 1 through 12, and that'll be on Pew Bible page 740. Hear God's word. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The songs of the temple shall become wailings in that day, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this. You have trampled on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we might sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it, and all of it rise like the Nile, and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentations. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only son, and the end of a day of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north to the east, they shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. And our New Testament lesson comes from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, and that'll be on Pew Bible page 840. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better path, part, which will not be taken away from her. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you. We thank you for your word and that it lights our path and guides us. The ways that it comes to us and lights our way in the darkness. We ask, O Lord, that it would guide us and keep us, help us, and move us, so that tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrows will be days we live in to serve you. Lead us, guide us, and keep us, Lord. And may your word push us and help us in the days to come. In your name we pray. Amen. For me, every time I read speech in Scripture, I hear voices with it. Let me bear that out so that you don't think I'm hearing voices. But I hear them with a certain tone, a certain tonal quality, so to speak. And it's not necessarily a specific voice, although there are certain voices that tend to blend well that you've heard in life. So when I hear the devil speak in Scripture, it's got this smooth, oily salesman quality to it. You know, the same type of voice that wants you to add this on to your new car and this, and isn't this a great deal? You know, that kind of voice, leading you, pulling you. When I hear God speak, there's this expectation of both the most terrifying voice you could hear and at the same time, the absolute most comforting voice as well. It's that blend of terror and comfort that booms out and yet just feels like a hug at all times, even when God is mad and frustrated. There are moments when someone speaks in Scripture that you just hear it. When Jesus speaks, there's this comforting tonal aspect to it of a good friend who just always is there listening and always has that just calming quality to his voice. I don't picture Jesus delivering these great rousing rah-rah coach speeches. But the great preaching of Jesus always has this quality for me that sets me at ease, that sets me in a place of comfort, and makes me want to go almost, to use a sports phrase, run through a wall, you know, one of those things. So like a coach, but without the yelling, a good coach. But there are also a group, we'll call them, in Scripture that has this whiny tone to them. It's the Israelites in the wilderness, the Pharisees, that always sounds like children squabbling to me. He looked out my window, Dad. She's on my side of the bench, Dad. You can hear it as the Pharisees complain to Jesus. Your disciples are working on the Sabbath, Jesus. Jesus, you're not allowed to heal on the Sabbath. You can hear it as Moses wanders through the desert. It was so much better in Egypt, Moses. Why did you drag us out here? It's just that quality of whining. But there's a moment that for me always will epitomize the New Testament whine. And that's this scripture today in Luke. Now, bear in mind, let me flesh that out so you don't all simply defend Martha for a moment. Mary and Martha don't leave us with unfelt emotions. We relate to Martha a lot, don't we? Many of us have been there hosting, haven't we? Where we sit and we work our hands to the bone to be a good host, to do everything, and somebody who was supposed to help us doesn't. I heard a lot of that sort of stuff on Thursday when somebody kept on complaining, somebody's not helping, Dad. You wouldn't know who was doing the complaining, was it, Liam? You get frustrated because you're working, and that person who's supposed to be helping isn't. We heard a lot of this in my house growing up. Mom, Rob's not helping. Bill's just sitting there waiting for us to help him. He just quit. Jenny's busy coloring, Mom. Mom, Edie's bossing us all around. Not to give too specific of examples. The fact is that we have a Martha problem, because Martha's near experience is very common for us, but so we overconnect with it. See, we look at our own work ethic, our own belief, and we say, well, yeah, Mary should be helping her. Mary should be in there, at least pick up a broom and sweep. Come on, Mary, let's go. But there's something more going on. Maybe our hosting ethic that's been passed on, maybe it's our own past connection. I don't really get why we overconnect with Martha. But we all always do. We've all similarly tried to be in that spot where Martha is. And we don't try and relate to Mary. We shy away from relating to Mary, don't we? Because we view them as the worker and the lazy one, don't we? It's all about those duties that aren't being done with this scripture. But if we stop over-relating to the moment, stop over-relating and making false equivalencies to our own experiences, where at a Thanksgiving, our sister-in-law just sat down and went through the sale flyers when they should have been making the mashed potatoes. You know, if we stop over-relating, we see that this circumstance is not at all like ours. Why is it different? Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that while all of us have hosted at some point in our lives, and if you haven't hosted in some way, we'll fix that. We'll change that for you. We'll have a party. But if you're hosting and you've been frantically trying to get ready for that guest that is coming, you're over-focused, you're trying to get everything set up, and we've all done that. But let me ask you one question. Has your guest ever been the Son of God? I mean, have you ever had Jesus come over for dinner? And that's the difference. That is the profound difference here, is that this scripture we over-relate to has a item in it that we can't relate to. We look at Martha and we relate to her, but the reality is we can't relate, because much as we love having our in-laws over, having our in-laws is not the same as having Jesus over. You know? It's not the same. And so when we peel back those false equivalencies we've created where we are Martha, we understand that this moment is unlike any other moment, because Jesus came to dinner. Jesus is the dinner guest. And so the question we have to look at here is, what's really going on? And what's really going on is that Martha is too busy. She's too busy with making sure she's a good host, with making sure Jesus feels welcome. She's too busy. Instead of sitting and listening to Jesus, she's too busy wondering if Jesus has a good seat, you know. She's too busy wondering if Jesus brought the wine. Oh, you didn't bring the wine? Then I'll have somebody bring water and you can take care of that. The fact of the matter is that Jesus is the dinner guest. He is the guest. And Martha is so caught up in what she's supposed to do, what culture, what family, what tradition has said she is supposed to do, that she can't stop and understand that it is Jesus who is in her living room and is speaking. Let me ask you all a question. If you had Jesus over for dinner, would you care if the pot roast was burning, or would you care about what Jesus was saying? That's the pot roast. David got the pot roast. So David, if we are ever in need of the pot roast, we've got it. The fact is, this boils down to Jesus or the dishes, Jesus or the pot roast, Jesus or making sure everybody's got a full glass. Which matters more? The fact is, Martha is so busy and caught up with issues that are in this world that she can't listen to the wonderful words that Jesus is saying, which talk about the better world, the greater world, the world that is to come. The problem is that Martha's been taught all her life how she is supposed to be, how she is supposed to welcome guests, how she is supposed to cook, clean, prepare, make ready. This is the tradition, the cultural element that she has to have done. Does she want to sit down and listen to Jesus? I'm sure she does. But tradition is coming first. Instead of being able to set aside culture, tradition, those other things that are of this world, she can't listen to the Son of God for a few moments. You see, Mary and Martha represent the difficulties and challenges of priorities which we face. They show us what these two women value and set as primary. On the one hand, we have Mary, who hears Christ speaking and says, I got to sit there. I got to be there. I've got to listen. And Martha, who is so busy, so working, so taking time for other things, that she can't sit down and listen. Martha's distracted. She's diverted, as Jesus says. And on this day, it's hosting. On the next day, it's going to be something else that's more important than listening to Jesus, because culture says she has to be. And then it's the next thing and the next thing. Martha is every one of us when we don't set the priorities right, when we don't set the priority of God being first, when we don't take the time and set things aside where God is first. And that's not easy. That's not easy when we are taught to work, 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 and then God takes a back seat to everything else in our lives as we deprioritize God. Our life is filled with Mary and Martha moments. Moments where the priorities stack one way. And we always seem to choose that cultural, traditional piece. I remember several years ago going over to my uncle and aunt-in-law's for Christmas Eve buffet, we'll call it. And dinner was supposed to be at a certain time, and we had made known that, well, I got to be at the church to open up and prep everything at 6 o'clock for the 7 o'clock service, blah, 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 blah. And what ends up happening is people get delayed, the meal gets delayed, and soon it's 5:45 and dinner hasn't happened yet. The celebration hasn't happened yet. Presents haven't been opened yet. And that deadline of going to the church and opening things up happens. And would you believe the flack the minister got when at 6 o'clock he walked out the door and headed to the church? Would you believe the flack that the minister's family got, in-laws and parents-in-law included, when they walked out the door at 6:30 to go to worship? It's a hard thing when pressures come, but it's an even better thing when we take the time, like Mary does, to sit down and sit at the feet of Christ and just listen. We're going to be challenged throughout our lives to follow what culture, what personal drives and desires that are taught to us and tell us to do. And we're always going to be faced with that Mary and Martha moment where we have to choose. Is it Jesus or the pot roast? Jesus or the dishes? It's Jesus or our to-do lists, sports, kids, grandkids, or even our pro teams. And if you want to challenge me on that one, I will challenge you back and say, if you have a 12 o'clock consistory meeting and a 1 o'clock Bears game in the Midwest, I guarantee you that consistory meeting will be done in an hour. The fact of the matter is that it's the prioritization of our faith that we need to look at and understand and really see what and whose we are. Are we followers of the way? Little Christs, Christians. What is our priority? Will it be like Mary? Or will it be like Martha? May we always, when it comes, be like Mary and not Martha, and take the time for Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters,